Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. My daily reminder, don't forget, there are lots of ways to listen to our program, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, if you're in Southern Indiana and the Louisville area. We also, the show most days is replayed, so if you can't catch it at 11 o'clock due to work or meetings or life or whatever, you can catch us most days at 3 o'clock. We also are streaming at BigXSportsRadio.com from your computer or from your mobile device. We're in the TuneIn app as well. Just search WXVW there. There's even a phone number you can call and listen to the program, listen to the station here. And then, of course, podcast. That is a growing part of this program. No matter how you listen to those, we appreciate it. SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two of the big ways, the easy ways to find us out there as a podcast as well. We've had some terrific numbers. It's just amazing to me when we have on IU former guys, like former players, or when we have on recruits like Trey Galloway that just made his decision, or Anthony Leal, who I'm going to talk about in just a second with a lot of news here on him. But when we have those guys on, the podcast numbers are just unbelievable. So appreciate your support, all the retweets, all the follows, everything, and look forward to interacting with you guys even more on the program coming up here soon. Let's talk about Anthony Leal before we go any further on this Tuesday program. Just before we came on the air, like literally within the last, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, it came out that Anthony Leal is going to end his recruitment this week, and he is going to announce his college decision on Friday, August 9th. It doesn't give any details of a time or how he's going to announce his decision, if it's going to be just a social media post like a lot of kids choose to do, or if he's going to have a ceremony at his high school or somewhere in Bloomington. But obviously his recruiting, one way or the other, we're going to know sometime Friday. Is it going to be Indiana? Is he going to stay in state and join Trey Galloway as the second member of Indiana's class of 2020? Or is he going to take his services out west to Stanford? Those are his two finalists. We had Anthony on a couple weeks ago. We've talked a lot about this recruitment. We'll obviously continue to talk a lot about it and break down his options this week as well. But it's going to be interesting because there are two schools of thought that have developed. You know, some of this is said on the air when we've got our guests joining us each day to talk IU basketball and more, and others, I just kind of pick up from hearing tidbits here and there. But I think there are two schools of thought with Anthony Leal. The first school of thought is he lives in Bloomington. He goes to Bloomington South. His parents work at the university. He's lived very close to the campus for many, many years, his whole life, essentially. Trey Galloway and him are really good friends. They played summer ball together most of their high school career, if not longer. And Trey Galloway just committed to Indiana, so Anthony Leal is going to commit to Indiana on Friday. That's the one school of thought. I think that's the popular school of thought. I think that's generally how the fans obviously want it to go. Archie Miller has had a lot of success in the state. We've covered that a lot. That's something right now that you have to tip your hat to him. He has been spot on, with the exception of Keon Brooks, really the only major miss that Indiana has really wanted and really tracked in the state that they didn't come up with, a multiple-year type recruitment that they didn't end up the winner in that sweepstakes. But that said, the other school of thought is Anthony Leal is a high academic kid. He puts a lot of emphasis into basketball, but also what life would look like without basketball if he doesn't make it to the professional ranks, or if he doesn't have a long-standing professional career that he can make some serious money doing. He obviously is interested in things that Stanford outside of basketball has to offer. He also has seen the campus. Whether he is obviously, I don't believe there's a visit scheduled this week, so that would make you wonder, but he obviously has seen the campus in the past and is familiar with the coaches, and they're one of the schools, unlike Indiana, that has recruited him for a number of years, two seasons basically now, where Indiana really didn't get into things officially with Leal and a scholarship offer until earlier this spring. But that second school of thought is that maybe Leal is too similar to some things that Trey Galloway could do and other players on the IU roster, and that he isn't going to go to Indiana. He's going to go to Stanford and try to make his own path, despite the fact that he lives miles from the campus and friends with Trey Galloway and friends, I'm sure, with other players from inside the state that are on the IU roster currently. So it's going to be interesting. It's still hard for me to believe he will not go to Indiana if I had to put a bet down on it or make a bold prediction. But there are some reasons that do make you wonder when this thing is announced on Friday, is it going to be IU? So we'll talk about that this week, including today on the program. But Anthony Leal, just earlier this morning, announcing that he is going to make his decision between IU and Stanford on Friday. And actually, the news was broke by Tipton Edits. And you say, who's Tipton Edits? That's the guy that does all these graphics when players come up with their final list, or their final two in the case of Anthony Leal, that put him, you know, in an IU jersey and in a Stanford jersey and have all the fancy logos and artwork. That's the guy that does it. So he's in communication with these players a lot, probably getting the graphics ready for whatever his decision is. Anyhow, that's how it came out. Anthony Leal getting really close to his college decision, which makes the end of this week very interesting and gives us another big topic to discuss as we move forward this week for Anthony Leal. Will it be Indiana or will it be Stanford? Obviously, we'll talk about that today and throughout the week as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. On this Tuesday program, we have Hoosier Headlines to start things off coming up here in just a moment. We'll take a look at Christian Lander, a small update with his recruitment. A couple things about Trace Jackson Davis, high school football note or two, and some information on the upcoming funeral of course, great Providence coach, legend Providence coach Gene Sartini, who passed away over the weekend, and some other stuff coming up here in the first segment as well. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he stood me up last week, so I'm going to get on him about that coming up here when he joins us. But Greg Doyle will be with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is working on something on Nick Westbrook with IU football, so we'll talk about that. We're going to talk some college football in general today, the Big Ten Conference, IU, Purdue. We'll do that with Greg. And I know Greg, I think it was yesterday, he was at Purdue and got a chance to talk with Rondale Moore, who obviously is a hometown favorite, a kid that grew up in New Albany, played a couple years at New Albany, played high school football the rest of the way at Trinity High School in Louisville, and we'll talk about that and more with Greg when he is with us today on the program. Then later in the show, Mike Pegram is with us, and it's a great day to have Mike with us because with his Anthony Leal news, we'll kind of go through one more time Indiana, Stanford, all the positives to go to IU for Leal, all the things that make sense on why he very likely could be a Hoosier coming up later this week, but also some of the reasons that I'm not sure that we should all be sold 100% that he's going to be a Hoosier. So, and we'll get Mike's prediction on that as well, all coming up later in this Tuesday, August 6th edition of the Hoosier Report. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can get $1 off your boxed lunch. Some really good stuff at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A number of things to get to today as well. And, of course, Anthony Leal takes the cake, his announcement earlier that he's going to choose between IU and Stanford on Friday. But I do want to fit this in from a recruiting standpoint. Christian Lander, I mentioned a lot of times here since the end of July that he's one of the key players in Indiana. I mentioned him and Caleb First as guys that really saw their recruiting interest grow and their interest as a national level prospect, not just a guy getting offers from schools in the state or from schools even in just the Midwest. And to kind of add to that, a number of new schools have gotten in the mix for him. A lot of them we've told you about as they offer him scholarships. But North Carolina and Kentucky, don't believe either one of those schools has offered a scholarship to Lander, but they definitely are in communication. They definitely watched him some in the month of July. And adding those two schools takes his recruitment to a whole nother level. So that is interesting to see. Of course, Tennessee and Ole Miss were some schools not necessarily in the Midwest area that he heard from recently as well that now are involved with him. Michigan has been on with him now for a while, including earlier in the spring. So he really has seen, if you put the dots on the map of his high major scholarship offers, he really has seen his recruiting expand over the spring. It started, and now that the summer, as far as the month of July is complete, it has really grown as well. And it's going to be interesting to see where his recruitment goes from here with some of these other schools like North Carolina and Kentucky. Do they watch him through the high school season? Do they eventually offer him a scholarship? Are there other blue blood programs from outside of this immediate area that get involved? And you'd have to say Kentucky's obviously in the immediate area if you drew a line from Evansville to Lexington. That is obviously a reasonable distance. But North Carolina, I mean, that makes it a national recruitment, I believe, for Christian Lander of Evansville Rights. Also, Trace Jackson Davis, great story in the college basketball section of SportsIllustrated.com yesterday about him. They are previewing the top freshman, or at least the top expected freshman in college basketball for the upcoming 2019-2020 season. And number 26 on their list of players that they are going to count down from is Trace Jackson Davis of Indiana, of course, of Center Grove. Really good piece, really detailed piece. It talks about what he means to Indiana's recruiting class, which is a two-man class with him and Armon Franklin. It talks about how he fits in to the lineup potentially in his freshman year with Jawan Morgan gone and Justin Smith stepping into some of the roles and some of the space that was occupied by Jawan Morgan. It mentions Deron Davis and him playing with Trace Jackson Davis as well, and how he's important or could be important to Indiana's overall success and team this season. So that's a really good piece on Trace Jackson Davis that kind of gets you excited about the upcoming season and thinking about how some of the new faces, and when you talk about new faces, obviously Trace Jackson Davis to me, I think has all types of potential to be successful at Indiana and in the Big Ten Conference. And then Joey Brunk, those are the top two guys to me that new faces that get you excited about what they could do to bring some change and some increase some positive things for this Indiana team. Armon Franklin, he's improved a lot. Every time he came out in the high school season, he seemed to be able to find ways to improve his game. And so a guy that would have just been a good get maybe for down the road, maybe he finds his way into some minutes this season as well. But good piece on Trace Jackson Davis to get you ready for the upcoming season as well. Also, high school football, our kickoff show is Thursday. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But the details for Providence, former Providence coach Gene Sartini, have been released. The visitation is going to be tomorrow on Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. and also from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday at Kraft Funeral Service at 2776 Charlestown Road. Funeral is scheduled for 11 a.m. Friday at St. Anthony in Clarksville, followed by a burial. And here's something neat they're going to do. This is really cool and will be really special for a lot of Providence people and Providence football people as well. But at Murphy Stadium at Providence High School, before Coach Sartini and his body is taken to the church for the funeral, they're going to have basically a human tunnel with players, former managers, former coaches, anyone really affiliated with Coach Sartini's time at Providence, a human tunnel down the middle of the field, and they're going to bring him down through there, which will be a very special moment, obviously, for a guy that did so much for Providence High School and for the football program there. It's what a special touch that is to what will already be, obviously, a special time and a tough time for family and former players of Coach Sartini as well. But neat to see that, and that will be quite a sight and a great way to send out Coach Sartini, who passed away over the weekend. Also, one other note, I don't know if you've seen it. I've bragged about it a little bit and have encouraged people to go take a look at it, but we talk about Romeo Langford Basketball Court. It was constructed outdoors at the new Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. It's on Charlestown Road in New Albany, and it's located not too far behind Northside Church on Charlestown Road in New Albany. So that's kind of a good marker if you don't know exactly where I'm talking about. But Romeo Court was built last summer. There was a grand opening. We had all sorts of special events there. There are some additional things planned in the future. It's a first class. The court is smooth. It's a colorful. It just the goals are, I've told people, they really are as nice in many cases as some indoor goals. These are first class deal, no question about it. But there's another court that is going up behind Romeo Court. And if you drive into the park, you probably have seen a structure being built and may have had no clue that it was for a covered basketball court at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. And it's all been donated, every bit of it, the construction, the material, everything, by Elliot Phillips, who is a longtime businessman here in southern Indiana. In fact, Elliot developed a large part of the Charlestown Road corridor. And there's a really good piece on this new facility in the News and Tribune today that Chris Morris wrote. You can check it out there if you want to see some photos and get some more details. But I'm just telling you, with Romeo Court at the base of this, and there's now a scoreboard for Romeo Court, for an outdoor court, and then with this new undercover court that Mr. Phillips has donated and built, with a scoreboard facing inside for that court, unbelievable, the opportunities to kind of rejuvenate outdoor basketball, which is something that really has you don't see as much. But as you look at the local courts and as you pay attention to things, there is constantly action on Romeo Langford Court of kids and adults of all ages. And now there'll be two courts, and I know there are some plans for some more structured activities out there in the future, but this is a big addition to our basketball-loving community and basketball-loving Southern Indiana. Make a trip out to see it. Still a long ways from being done, but it's getting there. And, of course, Romeo Court has been completed now for a year and is still looking really, really fresh and really good. But check it out. Pretty good stuff. And kudos to Elliot Phillips for some big donations there to make that happen. Those are our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday night, it's 2019 High School Football Media Day for all of the Clark and Floyd County High School football teams. Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join me at Zaxby's on Highway 62, 5430 East Highway 62 to be exact. We'll start at 6 o'clock. We'll have all sorts of things going in addition to interviews with the top coaches, and or I should say all coaches, all eight coaches in the area, and Lee Kelly will join our coverage as well. Lee's going to be interviewing some players from each school. Basically, we've asked each coach to bring along 2 to 3 key players that we think will fill up the stat columns this year, or, you know, maybe leaders of the team that are well-spoken and can represent their football program on our media day. But going to be a fun night. There'll be pictures. There'll be some video clips. We'll be live on the radio. The radio show will become a podcast when we're done with that. It's going to be a great way to kick off high school football, which is just weeks away here in southern Indiana and throughout the state of Indiana. So very excited about Thursday night. We got a lot of new coaches. We got some great players returning. There are some young players I'm interested in learning more about. We'd love for you to join us at Zaxby's for the program on Thursday evening. We'll be there from 6 to 8:30. Come by for the whole thing. Come by for a portion of the program. We'd love to see you there. It's going to be a busy, busy night. A marathon-type show is how I describe these preview shows that we try to put together for some of the high school sports. But we'd love to have you with us at the newest Zaxby's location at 5430 East Highway 62 in Jeffersonville. Okay, time for a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, coming your way next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us Tuesdays in this segment, which is always brought to you by Coffee Crossing. Now that the weather is warmed up and it's hot, don't forget you can get all of your favorite Coffee Crossing drinks blended or over ice as well. Greg Doyle is with us. Greg, we missed you last week, man. It wasn't a Tuesday Hoosier Report without Greg Doyle presented by Coffee Crossing.
And I hate doing that. Did you see the story that came out of, like, the reason I wasn't able to talk to you? I was at Colts practice that day talking to Ahmad Thomas. Did you ever see that story?
I don't think I did.
In a nutshell, and Lord knows I've tweeted it out several times, so it's easy to find if anybody wants to, and if you don't, okay. But Ahmad Thomas found out he was adopted when he was 16. Goes to the NFL. His parents were broken apart when they were 12 years old when they got pregnant, his parents. Two kids didn't really know each other very well. Got pregnant. She was in foster care. They got split up. Never saw each other again. Ahmad finds out 16 years later he was adopted. Well, he goes to the NFL, and the NFL, they try him out a couple of different places, and they keep finding different things wrong with him. Not career-ending, but like a sickle cell trait, anemia thing, and they want to know his background, his medical history. He had told the Chargers and the Packers, "I don't know my background. I'm adopted. I don't know my parents." Well, so that prompts Ahmad to go to his adoptive mom and say, "I got to find my parents." So she gives him their names. Anyway, he reaches out to his parents, freaks them both out. They're none of them are together. The three of them finally get in a room together for the first time ever. And the mom and the dad, the birth mom and dad, who haven't seen each other in 23 years, within a month are engaged.
Wow.
And now they're married. And Ahmad went from having no family at all to having two or three different families. And he needs that one big sports moment, and maybe he'll get it. But if he has that one big sports moment, he'll be a movie. I mean, it's a movie.
Did you know that this was something that was going to be talked about, or did this come up in the interview, the questions?
I would love to say, I just kind of uncovered it myself there, Matt. But no, I knew. I knew the story was great. I didn't – it was actually – I mean, that story is so good. It was probably 10% better than I thought it was. And it could have been 50% worse than I thought it was. It still would have been a great story. But the interview, the things that he was telling me were much better than I even thought I would hear. And just one of those guys, and we're all wired differently. Not everybody can do this. But one of those guys that was given lemons had decided, nah, I'm going to make lemonade. And I was really impressed with him. A great young man. A guy that definitely, he played for the OU Sooners from Miami. A guy to root for sure. I don't know if he'll make the team or not. Probably not, but he might be on the scout team.
Definitely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment always presented by Coffee Crossing. I was going to save this until the very last thing, but since we're talking about stories, columns that you've written, and I'm going to talk about one here in a minute when we get into some football stuff that I don't think you have written yet. But with that said, I keep watching your Twitter feed and indystar.com/sports. For the column on St. Francis and the rogue gymnasium that it took us forever to find out about, and then you finally got a chance to come down and visit with some people and see it. And we also have learned about you in the recent months that you stockpile some of these stories, which is great for the off-season months in the summer. You're such a hard worker. You're constantly churning out content. Has that has not ran yet, has it? I think that's still forthcoming.
It has not run yet, and it's I've got, let's see, four or five. I've got five columns. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. Actually, I can top this. I can top this with myself, sad to say. I've got five columns that are written that haven't run yet. Five. Now, one of them skewed. One of them runs. Well, it runs Thursday. It'll go online tomorrow. It's advancing the Colts preseason game. One is on an IU receiver named Nick Westbrook. I went out there last week, wrote it, and I actually emailed IU yesterday and said, I promise you, I've written the story. I think you guys might even like it. It's not going to run for another week. Purdue, I was out there yesterday with Rondell Moore and came home and wrote it. Because the thing is, when I do a story like the Mount St. Francis one you're talking about, when I go and report these stories, it's fresh, and I write it right then. I mean, I have to. I couldn't possibly come back to it 2 weeks later. It wouldn't be as good. But I work in advance, and so I'm five ahead. I'm five ahead, and sad to say, of these five, because Mount St. Francis, that story is so special. I mean, the guy that greeted me was dressed like Friar Tuck, and he was dead serious about it. It's just such a special story. The history is so amazing that has to run on Sunday. That's got to go in Sunday's paper. And Sundays are spoken for a lot, so it's going to run in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, let's talk a little football, and then I want to get into Archie Miller and just kind of generally touch on some in-state recruiting stuff. But Nick Westbrook, you mentioned you've got something forthcoming about that. I know that you have been following college football with the season inching closer and closer, and we are really, I guess, within 3 weekends, I think, from the start of at least some early season games. IU Ball State comes to mind at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis as far as how the Hoosiers will start their season. And then you were at Purdue yesterday. I also want to talk some Rondale Moore coming up. But your general snapshot on IU football, maybe a bit on Purdue, and then on the Big Ten Conference overall?
I do think IU is going to be better this year, much like I think the Colts are going to be better. In both cases, I'm not sure how much it's going to matter. Your schedule is so brutal. Now, Ohio State's going to take a step back, but Ohio State, a step back, is still brutal. So IU's we all know it, they're in the wrong division in the Big Ten. So they can be a lot better, and you might not see a whole lot of results, but they are better. They're deeper. They're more talented. Tom Allen's done a very good job of recruiting. And, I mean, they've got so many receivers, and they've got so many running backs. And they've got so many quarterbacks now, you know, and the theory's always been, well, if you've got more than one quarterback, then you don't have any quarterbacks. I think they've got three. They got three quarterbacks. Jack Tuttle, the transfer, big-time guy, Penix, big-time recruit last year, who we saw enough of, though he's really good. Then Peyton Ramsey, they just can't get rid of him as a starter because he just won't give the job up. So I think IU is, at least offensively, going to be really good this year. But like I said, in that division, I'm not sure it's going to matter.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Purdue, Rondale Moore, you got to see him yesterday. I think you said they held him out of practice, so tell us about that. Tell us what Rondale was up to, and then your thoughts on Purdue as well under Coach Braun.
Rondale is a lot bigger, a lot bigger. He looks like a shorter Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's huge. Mm. He says he weighs only 185, and he's only about 5'8". He looks bigger than that, but I asked him, you know, a year ago, what'd you weigh? And he said 170. So in his words, he's put on 15 pounds. His receivers coach, Jamarcus Shepherd, was nearby and heard my question. And before Moore could even answer, he goes, 162? And then Moore said, well, Shep says 162, but I was more like 170. And Shepherd says, yeah, he might have been 170 with a weight in his pocket. So he's put on minimum 15 pounds and maybe more than that. And he looks it. He says, of course he's as strong or stronger. That makes sense. It's all muscle. But he says all the measurables he's got, he goes, including speed, they're all the same, if not better. So I expect another huge year from him. And he's such a neat guy. And I didn't really realize this until yesterday. I can see why he and Romeo are so close, because he's very, very much like Romeo. He does not want – I don't know. Do you know Rondale at all?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah. Doesn't want to talk about himself any. And would in fact, Purdue is, they've instituted some Rondale Moore rules this year. One of them is they're not going to use him in practice every day. I think he has a tweaked hamstring. It's tweaked, but he told me if there was a game tomorrow, I'd play in it. So they're just holding him out for load management. Mm. They're going to do that periodically, yeah. But also off the field, Rondale is going to be the first player at Purdue since Drew Brees to be limited with the media. They're going to, you know, one day a week. Because the crush is just, and that's fair to Rondale. It's fair. Otherwise, it's too much, because too much would be asked of him. So he's going to meet with the media once a week for the first time at Purdue since Drew Brees did the same thing 27 years ago, which is fair and fitting. Rondale Moore is Purdue's best player since Drew Brees. Absolutely their best player since Brees.
Wow. Great to hear.
And, Yeah, and what I think about Purdue is they're not in the wrong division. So they're in the right division, and I think they got better in the offseason. I know they got better. And, I mean, they got stars at receiver coming in. They got a big-time defensive end from Lafayette, Karlaftis, who I saw yesterday, and he's good. He's good, real good. So the question, and like in so many teams, is how good your quarterback? They're switching from Blau to Sindelar, and Sindelar has played a lot. I mean, he's played a lot. It actually was a start, beat out Blau last year before he got hurt. So in theory, they're in good hands at quarterback, but until Sindelar can be healthy for a full year and put it together, we don't know. But let's just assume the best, that he stays healthy and he is what we've seen him to be. They're better than a year ago, and unlike IU, simply because of the divisions, we will see that in the record too.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is brought to you by Coffee Crossing. This is something that I have went back to many, many times with you, and normally about this time after there's been a commitment, an in-state commitment from one of the key players from within our state's boundaries, and there seem to be so many. But Archie Miller, you know, criticism about not making the tournament. Some fans criticize how he used or didn't use Romeo Langford. There is always, with any coach, going to be some positive and some negative when you ask fans specifically. That said, one of the things that I don't think anyone could have any complaints with at all is the recruiting of this state. He came in, and I can still remember, I don't even think it was a Tuesday. I think it was we did some like around-the-clock crazy coverage, kind of like we did for the Romeo announcement when IU hired their coach, or very soon after they hired their coach. And I think you actually came on the day that everything was announced. We did just some extended coverage, and you were kind enough to join me from Assembly Hall, and it was one of our early interviews, I really think. But that said, you were, in Greg Doyle way of describing things on this program, you were very detailed in what Coach Miller had to say to you and the rest of the press and everyone there about the inside-out recruiting method and about the boundaries of the state. And from that point forward, I feel like you and I really have tracked it closely when we talk. And, of course, Trey Galloway of Culver Academies, the first commit in the class of 2020. Anthony Leal, just earlier this morning of Bloomington South, said he's going to make his college decision this Friday, choosing between Indiana and Stanford, which will be very interesting to see how that goes. But with all that said, my goodness, what Archie Miller has done, starting with the 2018 class that was kind of culminated by the late addition in the spring of Romeo Langford, following that up with Trace Jackson Davis, with Armon Franklin, now getting Trey Galloway with the potential to get Anthony Leal on Friday. I can't think of a miss that Indiana has really recruited hard and recruited for some time other than Keon Brooks. His in-state recruiting tactics have went over very well.
Yeah, and if you were to look back at starting in 18 with the Romeo's high school senior class, if you're going to pick the best, I don't know, 12 players in the state since then, up to this class with Culver and Leal, the best three or four players every year for 3 years. I mean, he's got what, seven or eight of them. I mean, he's dominated it. I mean, yeah. He has owned it. He's owned it. He hadn't gotten every last one of them, but he's pretty much done that. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I could be wrong. I have no inside information on this course, but I don't think it's a coincidence that Galloway commits to IU. People have thought he and Leal might be. I mean, they've talked about it. They wouldn't mind playing together. They've not said they had to, but they've made it clear they would enjoy playing together. They were close. I just can't imagine it's a coincidence that about a week later, or a couple of days later, Leal says, "I'm going to announce on Friday. I've already decided." Surely he's picking IU, right? I mean, surely that's what we're going to hear.
I think so, but he's high academic, and I went through that at the very top of the show. There's two schools of thought. He lives by IU. His parents work at Indiana. He has been recruited by Indiana for some time. One of his great friends, maybe best friends, is Trey Galloway, but some people say there's similarities in him and Trey and others on the IU roster, and, you know, is that position, I don't want to say filled, but is there, you know, enough of that wing-type player? So I believe it'll be Indiana. I think most people would have to predict that, but you do have to wonder based on kind of that second school of thought. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, but you know what? You could play not only could you play those guys together, you could play a third guy together. If they had three of them, if they had Leal, Galloway, and a third guy who played just like, you know, in this day of college basketball and in the NBA too, if you're 6'4 or so and you can shoot, there's room for a whole lot of you on the court, a whole lot of you.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Hey, one thing, we'll close with this. Did you see, and I just saw this, somebody just sent this to me now, yesterday that the Memphis Grizzlies hired a female assistant coach of the Notre Dame's women's program, and I believe it's
the ninth.
What is it now?
She's the ninth female coach in the NBA, I believe.
I guess where I was headed with this, I'm trying to pull up a story while we're talking. That is the kid that – the Ivy is her last name. I don't know if it's Niel or how you say her first name, but I believe she's the mother of the kid that committed to Purdue very early, that Indiana had some early interest in. Is it Jaden Ivy that was at Mishawaka, and then I think now he's going to La Lumiere, the prep, the elite-type school up in northwestern Indiana. But I'm just curious if you saw that or not. I'm just now literally seeing it as we talk.
I did see that, and if the kid had committed to Notre Dame, you'd think, huh, I wonder what that means. But he's going to Purdue, so I'm sure it'll mean anything. But I'm fascinated by the trend of, I mean, the NBA went from we're not going to have anybody to I think it was Popovich hired Lindsay Whalen, so he was first. And 2-3 years later, there's nine of them. She's the ninth female coach in the NBA, and it's just remarkable that's the direction it's going. And, that's a huge, huge topic that you can spend hours and hours on, like why is this happening and all that. But it's fascinating, if nothing else. Because for so many years, men have been hired to coach the women, and it just kind of rankled the women because they'd get passed over. And now they're getting jobs over men. It's a fascinating turn of events.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us. I usually say always with us on Tuesday, but you got tied up last week, so you know I'm going to give you a little grief about that. But no problem. It's a better Tuesday when Greg Doyle's with us. And, Greg, thank you so much for the chance to reconnect with you today.
My man. Talk to you next week.
All right. Greg Doyle's segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Highway 311 in Sellersburg. There's portions of it temporarily closed, but Coffee Crossing and their new Sellersburg location in that area still open and brewing great coffee on a daily basis. Check it out. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. Of course, we'll talk Anthony Leal, who announced earlier this morning that he is going to make his college decision on Friday. He will choose between hometown IU and high academic Stanford between his two final schools where he will make his decision. And we're going to know at some point on Friday whether he's going to become the second recruit, the second commit, at least verbally, in the 2020 class for Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is next. We'll talk Anthony Leal and a lot more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pigs.com with us to talk IU basketball, recruiting, and perhaps even more in this segment. And, Mike, we've got to start with Anthony Leal, the announcement this morning, the news this morning, just before we came on the air for the live program at 11 o'clock, that he is going to wind up his recruiting on Friday. He'll announce at some point Friday a decision between Indiana and Stanford on where he will play college basketball. I didn't see with that announcement, Mike, any details of a time or if this is going to be a ceremony at the school or just a simple posting on social media like so many of the prospects do nowadays. Do you have any more insight on his announcement and how it'll come down?
You know, I don't. Yeah, this is pretty fresh news, but it will be Friday, and it's just down to two schools, so there's a lot of speculation it'll be Indiana right now, but Friday, and it's not surprising given that Trey Galloway recently committed, his good friend, and once the scholarships start to dwindle down, you start to see the decisions picking up, and that's what's happening here.
Mike, we had Anthony Leal with us, I guess, about a week and a half ago on Friday. If somebody wants to go back and on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts, you can listen to what he had to say. We talked a lot about Indiana, a lot about Stanford, a lot about the recruiting process and maybe a timetable for his decision. He seemed pretty content. And, of course, that was, I think, the same day that Trey Galloway committed. We had Anthony on in the 11 o'clock hour, and then later that day, Trey made a commitment to Indiana. But Anthony seemed to be pretty solid that he was going to take all the time he needed, whether that was a couple weeks, which is what it's been, or whether that was a couple months or even longer to make sure he found the right place. You mentioned as scholarships start to dwindle and other people commit and things like that, that can speed up another person's time frame as well. But interesting to see that this soon, after just a couple weeks ago saying it could be a lengthy process, he's ready to call for wherever his home is going to be.
Yeah, he had narrowed it down to two, so that doesn't leave as much analyzation. When you're just down to two programs, and especially with one is way off in the West Coast like that, it really comes down to can you go off to California from Indiana, and what does that mean for me? When it's down to two and they have different things that they offer, completely different things, then I think the decision is easy to go either way with whatever feelings you have on it.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. I guess we're starting our conversation today with a chat about Anthony Leal, who's going to announce his college destination between IU and Stanford on Friday. Let's go through each choice for Anthony. And I know we've talked a lot about Anthony Leal as a player and a lot about his recruiting in the recent months. But starting with Stanford, it's a high academic school. Anthony is the guy that has made it clear academics and a future perhaps even beyond basketball is important to him. That obviously is the key trait there, I guess you could say. And he's taken a visit. He's been on the campus for a school that is not nearby, that's all the way across the country. He obviously has taken time out to see the campus up close and personal. I think it maybe came during his junior year. So he has seen the campus, and Stanford has had a scholarship offer in play longer than Indiana. One of the first schools, I think, to do so. Maybe your thoughts on the Stanford side of things and why that could make sense for Anthony Leal.
Well, the first reason is that, you know, maybe the best academic opportunity for anybody across Division I. So it sets him up career-wise after his playing career for, you know, the working world. Pac-12 is obviously very competitive, Power 5 conference. And also Stanford probably presents some decent playing time opportunity for him. They've made a coaching change a couple years ago, and they're still trying to see if this will work out under Jared Haas. And, that could be – that means there's playing time opportunity, but it also could mean there's some concerns about, you know, whether the coach will be there all 4 years. Stanford in the Pac-12 is, you know, I don't think any parent would say no to a kid choosing Stanford.
Right. And from an IU perspective with Anthony, obviously we've talked about the fit, and we know about the relationship with Trey Galloway, and we know a lot about Anthony's game and what he would bring to Indiana. So my question from an Indiana perspective is this. How surprised will you be, Mike, somebody that has interviewed and followed Anthony Leal now, even long before Indiana had offered him a scholarship, maybe to the early days when Indiana, and it's been known, I mean, he's a Bloomington kid, he's somebody that is right there in the backyard. How surprised will you be Friday if it's not IU for Anthony Leal?
I would be surprised. I wouldn't say shocked, because, again, the whole academic angle, career after basketball deal, but I would be surprised. You just never run into a case where you get down to like two or three schools and the home state school is battling somebody from far away. The only time that choice doesn't get made is if the program is much lower level than the competition, or there's some controversy as we saw with Tyler Zeller in Indiana at the time. I really, you know, my 20 years, I just I always go with the home state school in these kind of situations.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Let's say Anthony Leal does come in the fold with IU officially as a commit on Friday. I know I've always said now that Trey Galloway here the last couple weeks, now that Trey Galloway's in the mix, who's next? I kind of had a feeling Anthony Leal's recruitment would go on a bit longer than what it's going to, but is Matt Cross maybe next up as far as players we think could be nearing a decision?
Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago I would have told you Matt Cross might be the first to fall for Indiana, but he decided to make a couple more visits, and that is pushed off his decision probably for at least another 4 weeks to 6 weeks, and makes you wonder whether he's unsure about Indiana or the other schools that had already received official visits. You know, it's understandable. He's not from the Midwest, so it is a big move to go to Bloomington, Indiana from the Boston area. And I still think that if I had, you know, gun to the head pick, it would be Indiana, but it does seem to be one that's, you know, guess at your own risk right now.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com with us. Don't forget, a lot of stuff about Anthony Leal. The Trey Galloway commitment is still fairly fresh as well. You can read it at Pegs.com. That's P-E-E-G-S. com. All sorts of recruiting coverage always, in addition to lots of general IU basketball and football stuff at the Pegs.com website. Mike, looking on in recruiting to the future, recently I had some conversations on this program with Kyle Neddenrip about Caleb First and the scholarship offers that he has added. You and I have spoke of him some this summer as well. I really think him and Christian Lander, probably from the Hoosier State, I'm not sure anybody had a better summer as far as becoming a national-level prospect and seeing their scholarship offers grow even outside of the state and the Midwest more to a national level. Caleb got an offer from Virginia was the last thing I saw for him. Christian Lander, you guys had a piece on him recently, kind of updating things. And, again, you can read it at the Pegs.com site, but he has some new interest, including some blue bloods of college basketball like North Carolina and Kentucky. So it looks like if Indiana's going to continue this great trend in the state of keeping the top players here, Christian is one of the next guys coming up in future classes that Indiana would want to do so with. They're going to have some really stiff competition, it looks like, when it's all said and done for Christian Lander.
Yes, it definitely will. But unlike Caleb Love, this is an in-state player, Southern Indiana, who's got an easy drive to Bloomington and has had the opportunity to really bond with current players and some of the kids that they're recruiting from the class above him. So I do think that'll make this one more likely to go for Indiana than maybe the other point guards are recruiting in the 2020 class like Caleb Love.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's talk some football. Before we sign off today, I know you and your staff have had a chance to hit some of the open practices to start fall camp. Early impressions of IU on the gridiron for this season?
You know, I was there yesterday and watching basically the entire practice, and it was a better optimism of, you know, better vibe, I should say, around the program than most years. I think it starts with having three pretty good options at quarterback, which is unusual for a program like Indiana to have guys with the talent of Michael Penix and Jack Tuttle and a veteran who's been through the wars and Peyton Ramsey. That's an embarrassment of riches for the Hoosiers. And then I think they started to answer some questions on the defensive line. I think I have a story ready to go in about an hour about the defensive line. And they have some guys there that might help give them the depth they need to rest a pretty decent first unit. Still wonder about the pass rushing off the end, but there's some guys there that have raw talent. Offensive line has a pretty good first unit, and I think they've showed some things in practice yesterday, building some holes up the middle. You're playing against yourself, so it's hard to say if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But running back and wide receiver are also embarrassment of riches in terms of the number of possibilities. They're guys that are fairly proven now. And I like some of the talent, young talent in the defensive backfield. It's going to be a very interesting year. It's one of the, I would say, one of the top two or three years of really looking forward to what will happen covering IU for about 20 years in football.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us always on Tuesdays. Great stuff on Anthony Leal and some IU football to close things out. Mike, as always, thank you. We'll look forward to it for next Tuesday.
Talk to you then.
Take care. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Don't forget, coming up Thursday night, of course, I'll be with you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 11 o'clock, the replay at 3 for the Hoosier Report. But coming up Thursday night, it's 2019 High School Football Media Day for all Clark and Floyd County high school football teams. It's a partnership between the Big X Sports Radio and also News and Tribune and their sports guys. We'll be live at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville, 5430 East Highway 62. It's the newest Zaxby's in Jeffersonville for this program. It'll be from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. All eight schools will be featured. We'll talk with every head coach. We'll also talk with two or three key players from all eight schools that are expected to be some of the key leaders and the key stat guys for these high school teams in our area. High school football almost here, and it really kicks off on the Big X with our 2019 High School Football Media Day, Thursday, 6 to 8:30. We'd love to have you out at Zaxby's. You can be live in our studio audience. You can come out for the whole show. You could come out just to support your favorite high school team. I'll be giving you the schedule here in just a moment as far as times. Of course, you can listen on the radio or streaming online with that special show Thursday TuneIn app as well, or you can dial this number, 563-999-3250, and listen to all of our programs here on the Big X. Thursday, the lineup, if you want to know when your school is going to be featured, we'll come on the air at 6 o'clock. At 6:08, we'll have Providence and Coach Larry Dennison. These are all projected times. We wanted to give each school the same amount of time. 6:25, Rock Creek. 6:42, Jeffersonville with new coach Isaac Parker. 6:59, Charlestown Pirates. 7:16, we'll have Silver Creek. 7:33, Clarksville. Later in the program at 7:50, Floyd Central. And we'll close things out. The last school we'll feature will be at 8:07 with New Albany High School. That's going to wrap up this Tuesday program. Back with you at 11 o'clock tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.